Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. We're going in descending order in age and probably also looks as we go. The handsome governor started. I'm just kidding, Stuart. You're clearly the most handsome of all three of us. But it's really great to be here today. And one of the blessings of speaking third in this group is you get to hear the wise and sage advice and perspective of these three. But you also see that they said everything you were going to say. And so what I've got here is primarily all been taken. And I think maybe to get us on schedule, I may kind of pivot a little bit, which makes my staff pretty nervous. So just take a deep breath back there. It's going to be okay. We do, in fact, have, I believe, the greatest state in the country to live in. And back in September, I went to my first national speakers conference in Rhode Island. And it was a great experience. One of the most interesting parts of that day was we went off-site and spent some time up in what allegedly is the oldest state house in the country, a little meeting room on the second floor with this rickety hardwood floor where George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and others spent time talking about the future of our country. And we had about 30 speakers of the House from around the country sitting in a circle, talking about the challenges and opportunities and the work that they do in their respective state houses across the country. And I'm kind of the new guy in the room, and I sat and mostly listened, and I left there, in all honesty, and I think the governor and the president can appreciate this, like Abby will tell you this, my chief of staff, I was emotional. And I was emotional because we truly have an incredible state to live in. And the challenges and the frustrations that those state leaders have in their states are at a whole new level compared to what we deal with. Isn't that right, Governor? And I just felt so incredibly grateful to live in this state and to serve the citizens of this state. And as the president talked about, we have, I was just in Hawaii, they are pretty dang happy there, by the way. But we have one of the happiest states in the country, best economy in almost any metric you look at, fastest growing state, highest ability in the state of Utah for upward mobility, which I think is maybe the badge of honor that I think matters the most. And this is not hyperbole, it is real, and it is because of a number of factors, but one of those is the great work that state leaders have put themselves into and worked on over the last 100 years as we've been here as a state. But I believe that this quality of life that we care about so much is constantly threatened. And I think we are at a tipping point right now in terms of how we manage this quality of life as a state. And one of the biggest threats that we had was, in fact, our ability to pay our bills. It's just plain and simple one of the biggest threats that we had with the structural imbalance that we had. And we have fixed it. Our ability to fund vital government programs, whether you care about health care or education or natural resources or infrastructure, we have fixed it. And I'm proud of that work. And I think that it's work that we all owe a debt of gratitude to a number of folks. And I just want to take a minute and thank some. I want to first of all thank the task force members that really sacrificed their lives for almost a year doing this work. Some of them are here today. I also want to thank the governor and his staff, Chris and Phil and others, who in times of very difficult circumstances demonstrated intense courage and knew that they were doing the right thing. And there were a number of times in conversations with the governor and the president where we were all like, this is, giving away $160 million is a lot harder than it should be. But we knew we were doing the right thing to make the state better, to make our tax policy better, to make our economy better, and we didn't blink. I want to thank the president. We've been friends for a long time, but we're very, very good friends now. And in fact, I was telling someone yesterday, it kind of felt like Stuart and I had a divorce. a couple weeks ago, because we were talking two or three times a day, and I think it's probably been 2 weeks since we've talked. It's probably been the best 2 weeks of his year. So, I also want to thank the staff at the legislature. I have never seen a group of staff work harder on an issue than this particular issue over the last year, those that were unfortunately assigned to work on it. It was remarkable. So there are some things that, and I'm doing a terrible job of getting you back on schedule, but I do want to talk a little bit and maybe tell a quick story. There are some threads that I think connect great leaders together. Threads that kind of at the end of the day, we see where leaders set their personal ambitions aside and do what they think is right. They do what they think is going to make the thing that they're working on, in our case, Utah, a great state and better. And they also subordinate their personal interests to serving others. And I think that's what we've seen with tax reform. It was a really hard issue to manage and to get across the finish line. And I was reading a story over the holidays, and this gentleman actually reminded me not of Howard Stevenson's underwear, it's someone named Tommy John, but a great baseball player. And Tommy John has some characteristics in common with Utah. I think, let me mention some of them. So if you don't know who Tommy John was, he was probably the most savvy, one of the most resilient and durable pitchers Major League Baseball has ever had. He worked 26 seasons in Major League Baseball. And I think some of those same characteristics of being savvy and resilient and hardworking are very similar to Utah. So something happened to Tommy John in 1974. He was pitching, and something really terrible happened to his arm. He blew out his pitching arm, and he did it in a way where the nomenclature at the time was called a dead arm. Your pitching career was dead. Well, like a long story short, he ended up having an experimental surgery where he had a 1 in 100 chance of succeeding. And most pitchers would say that's too risky. They pulled ligaments out of one arm, put them in another arm. But in fact, he said, if there is a chance, and if there's anything that I can do to take control of this issue, I'm going to. So Tommy John went and had that surgery done. And after intense rehab and training, he was actually able to go and pitch for another 20-some-odd years, 164 more games that he finished out, and became one of the most iconic pitchers in Major League Baseball history. But Tommy John did what we need leaders in this state to do, which is focus his energy on the things he can control and do what he thinks needs to be done in terms of serving a worthy mission and making what he can do even better. So I just want to maybe conclude with this. Putting this money back in the hands of taxpayers in terms of this tax cut that we've provided, as well as fixing our structural imbalance, moving to a user pay system, more of a user pay system with transportation, in the face of changing technological advances in our transportation space, whether it's autonomous vehicles or hybrid or electric vehicles, transit, the way we get around this state is changing in a significant way. And with the great collaboration of UDOT, we're going to be moving more than almost any other state to a user pay system over the next 5 years. And I think that's something that's important, something that's exciting, and is going to help us remain very competitive and healthy. We also are going to have resources now to continue to invest in things such as education and air quality and our natural resources. This is not easy work, and I'm not going to get into any more of the technical components of the bill. I just want to do this. I want to thank the lawmakers that worked really hard on this issue over the last year and also supported us getting this across the finish line in December. It's an important thing. We're going to be able to now do the great work for the citizens of the state of Utah moving forward. And as we look to the future and get into the next general session, We're going to be able to make new and significant investments in things such as education and transportation and continue to make Utah a great state. Rusty, thank you for all the work you and the Taxpayers Association did to help us get tax reform in place. I think we'll all look back on this in a number of years and be grateful that we took this important step. And I thank all of you for being here today, and Happy New Year.